I'm Mike Rakowski. He's Joe Bukowski now. Well, you know, as I was sitting there listening to the testifying going on, the young lady, you know, she was giving her testimony. I'm amazed at how, you know, I had never heard that young lady say a word. Like, I've been going here since 2014, and I don't think I heard her say two words, like, in like, the years I had been here. And then all of a sudden, she's getting up here and testifying and singing, and something happened in her heart at one of those youth events.
Amen.
And it's a blessing to see the growth of people, like, you know, young Christians blossoming and just growing, and it's neat to see that. It's neat to see pastor's grandson get up here and recite the books of the Old Testament this morning. It convicts me because I don't know the books of the Old Testament. Like, I would like to. I was not born with a good memory. I believe that the Lord didn't allow me to have one because I probably would have used it for evil purposes. Like, I would have used it for selfish reasons, you know. So, you know, he didn't allow me to have that. But I would like to try to memorize with his help. Memorize scripture, stuff like that.
Roman will help you.
I could use his help. And it also convicted me to help my son, who's three, only a year younger than him, to start teaching him. I don't know where to begin. Like, I'm you know, I'm not a pastor. I'm, you know, I'd like to learn how to instill those things into my children. But, you know, it's very encouraging to see that. It's neat to see young Aiden get up here Sunday night after Sunday night and give message after message. And it convicts me because I'm like, man, if he's doing that, like, what? Like, why am I not getting up there and teaching? You know, now, granted, I work full time. I have two children. So, you know, I have a couple little excuses, but, you know, it's really not an excuse because you can always find time to study the word more diligently and, you know, put together a message. I got tons of ideas, and it's laziness. That's what it comes down to. You know, it's I was, as they were testifying, I was thinking, like, if I'm called up there, you know, what would I say right now about what's the Lord doing in my life? And, you know, so I start thinking about some things I've been reading lately, and you know, I saw Pastor kind of noticing me, so I knew he was going to call me up here. I was just about to highlight something in Numbers. But one thing that was going on today was, you know, I taught at Silver Lake Nursing Home, and I hadn't taught there in like a couple months. In January, there was sickness going on there, so they kept us out on the week that I was supposed to teach, so I missed that month. In February, I got sick, and so I asked Brother Ryan if he could fill in, and he did. And so I was like, man, like, I got to go in March. Like, you know, I'm ready to go. I want to do it. And then I've been sick for about a month. Like, I've been battling this thing, and, like, I know a lot of people are sick, so, you know, but then today I felt like really sick. Like, I was like hurting and stuff. But I was like, man, I got to go. Like, I'm not going to call Ryan to fill in for me. Like, there comes a point where I believe some of it is spiritual warfare. And when you say, you know what, I'm not giving into that. I'm just going to go and serve. Joshua, what is it, 29:11 came into my head. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I was determined to go, and I went, and God blessed it. You know, we had a time there. We were singing. Miss Nunn, she got up and sang, and, you know, it was great. And God got me through it. That's the key. Sometimes you have to take a step of faith.
Amen.
And, like, kind of get over yourself and what you're going through and just say, you know what? I'm going to just step out on the water like Peter did.
Amen.
You know, the storm might rise up, but if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you won't sink.
That's right.
So, you know, that was something I got a little victory today over that. And let's see, something else that happened this week. There's this guy, Jeff, at work. I'm a truck driver for a living, and so when I get back from my run, I relieve this guy, Jeff. He's the yard jockey, so he moves trailers and stuff at the postal plant that we work at. And so when I get back, I relieve him, and he you know, clocks out at 10 o'clock, and then I do it from like 9:30 to 10:30. But I have about a half hour where we're just kind of like sitting in his truck in the overlap period between the time that he clocks out and the time that I take over. So I'm like, okay, I know I'm supposed to witness to him. Like, he is definitely lost. He's dropping GDs, you know, here and there. And I'm like, man, like I know I need to witness to this guy. And there was a testimony last week. Brother Cody got up and he said, I don't know if he's here tonight, but he got up and said that he had witnessed to a lady in Walmart. You know, and she had seen Luke, and she was looking at Luke, and that opened up a whole door for him to talk to her. And he said that he prayed for salvation with her. So that kind of thing, that encourages me to share my faith. Like, those testimonies help me.
Amen. Amen. That's right, brother.
So I was like, well, let me pray for Jeff. Like, let me soak this thing in prayer a little bit. And I fasted and prayed one day. And then I was like, Lord, help me. I'll try to witness to him. And so I was praying for an open door. And Jeff, he is a firefighter. So he has one of those scanner things on him, and you know, he likes listening to that thing. And so I got in the truck with him, and I'm like thinking, man, like, I wonder if the Lord's going to give me an open door. And he's like, yeah, I wonder if they're going to find this body. I'm like, a body? What are you talking about, Jeff? And he said, someone just jumped off Delaware Memorial Bridge. I'm like, oh man, that's horrible. But I was thinking, you know what? That might be an open door. Talk about eternity. I believe it's Charles Spurgeon that said, if you give me 5 minutes and I can get talk to a man about eternity, you know, I'll lead him to the Lord. You know, or if you get me talking to a guy and having him think about eternity for 5 minutes, I'll lead him to the Lord. So I started talking to him, and he's a hard man, you know, dropping GDs and stuff like that. Intimidating to witness to, because like those kind of guys, they're usually like, I don't want what you're preaching. They usually put the stop sign up. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. I'll share my testimony and you know, how the Lord saved me, because no one can contradict that. They can't say, well, that's not true, because it's your testimony.
Yeah.
You know, you could say John 3:16 to them, and they'll be like, well, how do you know man, you know, God wrote that, like maybe man just wrote that, you know, but they can't contradict your own testimony. So I shared that, and I could see the Lord was kind of touching him. So keep praying for this guy, Jeff. I'm going to keep witnessing to him. I didn't really get to finish because he had to clock out, but so I'm going to continue working on him.
Amen.
You know, God's help, God helping me.
Amen.
I want fruit.
Amen.
Amen.
I hear all the time people, you know, pastors saying in the beginning of the year, you know, I want fruit. I want one soul this year.
Amen.
Or, you know, multiple souls. Yeah, I hear other people saying, oh, yeah, I led 24 people to the Lord this month. Like, I'm like, man, I don't know if I've ever led someone to the Lord. It's not for lack of trying. I don't know how many tracts I've handed out and conversations I've had, but I've never seen any fruit. Now, that doesn't mean that someone won't get saved.
That's right.
Because they might take that tract that you give them, throw it in a drawer, a year down the road, and when they're broken, they'll pull it out and it'll be perfect timing.
That's right.
So I might just be a seed planter. You might be a seed planter tonight.
Amen.
If you're not gifted at talking. Like, I don't believe I'm gifted at witnessing and talking like Brother Eric and stuff like that. You can at least hand someone a track. That doesn't take any skill at all, really. I handed a guy a track in the Sam's Club tonight. We were over there, and I said, I just wanted to give you this, a little something about the Lord. And whenever I go into a Wawa, I like to put a track on the ATM, and I pray, you know, Lord, please draw just the right person to this. And a lot of times I'll see them, like, I'll go back, and they're gone. You know, someone picked it up. We went to Panera Bread today, and I went into the restroom. I saw there was a track that someone else had left, so there's other Christians out there. They're doing it, too. They put it on the blow dryer, you know, the hand blow dryer, and then I went back in later, and that track was gone. So someone took that track, and you know, you pray for that thing. Another thing that the Lord is doing in my life right now, just the daily Bible reading. Can't recommend that enough. This is my sixth time through the Bible. I started 2013, sixth time through. As you read through the Bible, you know, there's certain sections that are easier than others. You know, Proverbs are nice to read. They're little nuggets of wisdom and fun to read. And then Psalms, they touch your emotions, your heart. They help you out. But then you get into Numbers. And you're like, well, this one, did this. And your mind starts spinning. And you're like, what in the world is going on? Like, what is this, filler material or... just to pad the Bible out a little bit. But what you got to remember, this stuff was all written, and it was the Word of God for these people. This was important stuff. This was genealogies that was critical for these people to know who they were related to, and the law for the priest to know, you know, how to do certain things the right way, what to eat, what not to eat. One thing that I noticed from books like Leviticus is, you know, you read about, like, you know, you're only supposed to eat certain kinds of, you know, sea creatures, but not the shellfish. Like, and you're like, why in the world is that? It's to make you different, you know, to set you apart. That's what holiness is about. You know, we're to be set apart. We're to look different. We're to sound different. You know, that's what consecration means.
Amen.
And then this one particular section I read recently, maybe I'll read through it to give you, a little example. It's in Numbers chapter 8. I didn't really read this ahead of time. I didn't prepare anything, but I'll just read a little bit and comment a little. So chapter 8, verse 1 says, there's nothing wrong with reading the Word of God. No matter what, it's all good. It's all profitable. So no matter what it is, and it has a cleansing effect, a spiritually cleansing effect. Bible says to be washed by the water of the Word. So no matter what section you're reading, no matter what obscure section of Numbers or Leviticus, it's all good. Now Genesis, that's a lot of narrative there, a lot of historical accounts. I don't call them stories. They're historical accounts because they're real events that actually happened. But then you get into sections like this, and you're like, what in the world is going on? Like, why am I reading this? But it's the Word of God, and it's good for you. And you know what? Something else. If you're reading this, you're not sinning. At least you're not sinning in that moment. Like, and maybe it gets your mind off of something else. Maybe you're thinking about something sinful. And if you're reading this, at least maybe that'll get your mind off of it. Philippians 4 talks about, meditating on, you know, lovely things and things that are true. Numbers chapter 8, verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold, unto the shaft thereof, unto the flowers thereof, was beaten work, according unto the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses. So he made the candlestick." And by the way, if you go, Pastor, I'm sure, can tell you all about this. If you go to the Temple Institute in Israel today, I've never been there. I would love to go someday. They've made the golden menorah, and it's not fake. It's solid gold, you know, of beaten work. They read passages like this, and this is how they got the template on how to make the golden menorah. They've got all the implements for the temple ready to go. That's how close we are to the rapture of the church and the tribulation period.
Amen.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bullock with his meat offering, even fine flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. Thou shalt separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering." Notice I keep emphasizing the word cleanse. "For they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such as open every womb. And even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel have I taken them unto me. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And I have taken the Levites for the firstborn of the children of Israel, and I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel, when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. And Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according unto all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did the children of Israel unto them. And the Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord, and Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that went the Levites in to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons, as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This is it that belongeth unto the Levites, from 25 years old and upward. They shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years, they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge, and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites, touching their charge." So I read that a couple days ago, and that's one of those passages that you can just read it and be like, man, like, I don't know what that was about, but I'll just move on and okay, I got to do my chores now. I got to do this. I got to do that. And then the Lord spoke to me, and gave me a little nugget from this passage. And I was like, wait a minute. The Levites had to be cleansed before they could serve the Lord. They needed to be clean. So I need to be clean. Like, I need to, I'm going to serve the Lord on Sunday. I'm going to teach at Silver Lake Nursing Home. So that means I need to be clean. Like, Amen. Our minds need to be clean. Like, our thought life needs to be clean. What we're looking at needs to be clean. What we're listening to needs to be clean. So, you know, you could say, oh, well, I don't need to read the Old Testament. That's, you know, that's not for me. You know, I'm a New Testament Christian. But you can read that and glean a lot of good stuff from it. And, you know, just read the Bible daily. It's basic instructions before leaving earth. You know, you can't go wrong with it.
That's good.